Jesse, week update number three,
yes,
isn't it? So that's just halfway. How are we doing?
Yeah, we're doing good. You can see by your improvements and where you're at.
The beautiful physique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100, well, it's quite easy to, it's quite evident to see that progress is happening in a positive way. But just your mindset as well, you can see it's changing your attitude towards coming into the gym, testing yourself, and understand there's obviously a process that we are in. So like, you know, there's that extra bit of fire, but you can definitely see that there's been a mind altering thing that's happened that's causing you to also like push the pace.
Yeah, I think there's probably two things for me. Doing it on this podcast really helps.
Yeah.
The old accountability yeah. piece. But there's also a real obligation to you because I don't want to get fatter during the exercise.
Yeah, 100%.
End up being 20 stone throughout the process. So
we're bulking.
Always bulking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Always bulking. And how have you found it from your side? Obviously, we are pushing you quite a bit in terms yeah. of what you're doing with your business, the social media side. So how are you finding that?
It's challenging in its own right. I think that's why it's exciting to know the difference between that there's challenges in certain areas. One might be physical, the other one might be more mental and more time consuming. Well, yeah, I do feel like sometimes it is quite time consuming to stay on top of the marketing and the videos and the content and trying to make sure that everything's planned and process correctly in terms of how we want the end look to get to, and then also always reminding me and giving me new ideas. So there's new things consistently.
Yeah, there's more to it, isn't
there? Yeah, 100%. And it's always just every week, okay, what do I need to do here? Or not even for that week. It's like, again, thinking, I've never ever thought past, I'll probably even say like past a day of what I need to be posting. Normally I wake up, go to the gym and I'm like, okay, well, let me just, you know, do a video of me training and then post it up. Give people a workout to follow, where now it's a lot more structured and I can see the changes and it's somewhere where I want my page to go. So yeah, it's just putting your mind to it like anything in life.
Yeah, you definitely need to, because we have a goal that we're trying to achieve by growing your business, and you do need to have a structure to that goal. So rather than just getting up and saying, I'm going to stick something on Instagram yeah. and go for there. But I think we're both probably, I wouldn't say struggling, experiencing the same thing. So we're halfway through, we're 3 months in, the start of the process, excitement is well and truly gone.
Yes,
we're in the trenches, and the biggest thing now is consistency. Even with what I'm asking you to do and working with the guys at Ascendo,
yes,
it can be quite grueling sometimes just to keep on doing it and keep on doing it, and sometimes it doesn't look like you're getting results. But yeah. the same thing is, you need to be consistent. You need to yeah. keep doing this. You can't take a day off. You can't miss that. You need to be thinking constantly about what's the next idea.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to let that slip.
And I do, to touch on that though, I think it does help not being driven by social media and by the clicks and by the likes and by the, because I do feel like you could probably go down quite a bad rabbit hole if you're always expecting a lot more from social media than if you just, you know, going with the flow.
Yeah. So we call them vanity matrix. So what's the point? So we could quite easily put something in place that gets you mass views on your videos.
Me and a speeder.
No, we'll. Maybe a certain demographic. it's probably going to be UK-wide and outside the area. What yeah. we're trying to do is grow your base in Glasgow.
100%.
The next phase of what we will be doing is trying to increase your online PT business. But for now, it's all about your local base. So it's more important that we are building your presence with people who are actually likely to take your services.
Yeah.
A lot of your followers are in South Africa because that's where you came from.
Yeah.
But they're not going to commute for a PT session from South Africa.
And to pay pounds online, they're going to be like, no.
Exactly. So it's all about building. So at the start of the challenge, from my side, we agreed that we were going to finish with a finale of an event with yes. something to do. So You finally picked something for me, which is going to be the Tough Mudder
event
in June. So for anyone who doesn't know, Tough Mudder is, it's a 10-mile exercise course,
yes,
isn't it?
16 kilometres.
16 kilometres with 20 different obstacles.
Yeah.
And the obstacles vary from up and down cargo nets like you'd imagine, but there's some odd things in there as well.
Yeah.
So crawling through water and getting electric shocks. I'm really looking forward to that one. Into a room with tear gas. Again, I don't know how we train for that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, have a curry and lock yourself in the toilet. So there's quite a wide variety of disciplines that we need to train for. So what made you select that one?
Well, firstly, the excitement of it. Again, it's not one of these competitions where you have to be all out into a competitive setting, because again, that will then just create some anxiety for the day. And I mean, there's some people that do high rocks and, you know, they get a bit anxious because of what it is. I feel like for the Tough Mudder, it's exciting, it's challenging, it's got the things that we want to work on in terms of your cardiovascular and also just your ability to do things and to push through certain obstacles. I mean, that is it. I mean, trying to climb up ropes, trying to, you know, swing from one thing to the other. And we've spoken about it quite often, is like, if we looking at where you were even at the beginning to where you are now, I think it's going to be quite exciting to see how you can operate through that obstacle course.
Exciting, that's one word. I've got another word for it. Terrifying, dreadful, all these things come in. So one of the things that I'm really mindful of by doing this, I've been looking at it, looking at all the different videos. You're right, it's not like it's a very elite end, high end competition where people are taking it uber seriously.
Yeah.
But it's still over 10 miles.
Yeah.
And it's still over 20 obstacles.
And the obstacles, and this is, I think, for everyone, you know, watching and listening, is like, we want to
do well.
Every single obstacle. We don't want to be doing burpees as the supplements. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen on the day, but our intention is to complete the full obstacle with the actual, you know, things in between it. So without having to supplement burpees, because you couldn't do a obstacle.
Yeah. So from the cardiovascular bit, because the training that we've been doing, I used to hate running, absolutely hated it. Back when I first started training with you, that would have been, what, 2020, was it? When you first came to Scotland?
So, no, 2021.
So I barely could run for a minute when we started that. And one thing I would recommend anyone does to get onto that, I did the Couch to 5K.
Yes.
I remember you recommend that I started with that. And I can remember on the second week when they upped it to like 90 seconds running with a 30-second walk, I was blown out my arse.
Yeah.
I mean, I was blown out my arse. I was getting hit in the face with my man boobs. my legs were terrible. My feet were killing me. I thought, I'm never going to be able to run with this. But the good thing about Couch to 5K is it builds you up slowly. So you end up doing it. So I'm now in a point where yesterday I regularly run like 9K and feel okay with it. Don't get me wrong, it's still uncomfortable. So I'm going to have to up that for Tough Mudder. So you basically need to be running 10 miles. You're stopping in between, but you need to have that consistency. But because of where I've came from, I know I can do that. And I mean, that's
especially in the next 3 months.
Yeah, that's just about putting the time in to do it. So I know that. The big thing that is worrying me, we spoke about this, is there's a lot of swinging, kind of pull-up type things, climbing up ropes, upper body strength, grip strength. So, and why that's so clear in my head, and I'm a bit worried about being able to complete all that right across the whole thing. Down at a local park with my kids, I tried to do the monkey bars a few months ago and made a right tip myself and had the kid on. I was jumping off, but I couldn't get across as my daughter swings across like a monkey.
Oh yeah, just effortless for kids.
Effortless. So and there's a lot of exercises, obstacles within the Tough Mudder where you're in the air for a long time and you're moving, your hands are muddy and all that different piece. So that that probably is going to be my biggest challenge.
So let's just take away technique of the actual swing. What's imperative is the ability to actually just hold yourself up. That's the gist of it. Then we'll focus on, you know, the swing and the ability to be able to move from one say ring to the next if you're going to be doing the swings with the rings. Mm-hmm. And then as long as you can hold yourself up, that's the first. If you can't hold yourself up,
you're not swinging.
So I think that's the next stage of what we, and through this process, and again, this is what should be happening in your life and your training, is when you go from one thing to the other, your program isn't going to stay the same within the gym setting. You need to alter it. You need to change it for whatever you are planning to do. So going forward, that's why you'll see more grip strength exercises or exercises that require you to be holding a heavy weight for a long period of time in order to be able to get your grip strength a bit stronger.
Yeah, the grip strength's a big one.
Yeah.
Working in IT, I've got beautiful baby hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could stroke you and you wouldn't even feel it. But given what we are doing, it's a real struggle.
Yeah.
With those hands. So let's get, they're already, I've got two calluses now. I'll need to deal with that. I'm not happy. So we've already started, and since you told me what we're going to be doing, you've clearly, change the priority to that. Can I get this person to hold themselves up and not fall on his face? Yeah. Kind of training. So it might be worthwhile just talking through about if people are wanting, because where I'm struggling is my grip strength and my forearms. Yes. That's what's giving up. So it might be worthwhile just talking through what we're doing to improve that, because I think a lot of probably guys who have office jobs probably struggle with that.
Yeah. So in terms of grip strength, if you have to look at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what you actually hold for a long period of time.
My latte.
Yeah. Maybe your packet, maybe your grocery bags, maybe that's the longest period of where you all take it from the car to your house.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much what you're doing. And then when you go to the gym, you're not strong enough to actually really, or you're only doing sets of 10 and 12. So you do your quick sets of 10 to 12 reps, and that's then what the load is that you're holding for a short period of time. So if you look at it from that angle, we need, in order to actually benefit from any exercise that can then help towards grip strength, you have to be holding it for a certain period of time, and it needs to be a sufficient amount of weight that you're going to be carrying. So farmer's carry is a brilliant one, because, and at a heavy weight again, and everything needs to be as heavy as you possibly can, because then you are squeezing and you're tensing up your hands, your forearms. There's obviously I really do like back exercises in order to help with grip strength. But then on the other side of that is working with more of a higher rep range. So then your time over tension, not for the actual back. So if you're doing back, your back day session, a lot of your time when you say time over tension will be for the back. But if you're not trying to improve your grip strength, look at it from that perspective as hold the bar and do the repetitions until your hands and your forearms are burning enough that you can't do it anymore. And then keep doing it until you have to drop the weight.
Yeah.
So it's just, again, it's about loading it up as much as you can and keeping control of it for as long as you can.
Yeah, and I was reading, there's a study that shows that for males, grip strength directly correlated to health outcomes in your later life as well. It's one of the clearest indicators that they're able to tell you about your longevity from your grip strength.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, because most people don't think about that as a health indicator about how much force you're able to present. But I guess if you're able to grip, it's involving a lot of different bits of your body, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've had to put your shoulders under stress. You've had to put your legs under stress because you're
holding yourself up. Or even like the other one that we're doing is what is even harder, which I made you do this morning, was holding onto something, which you did, the pull-up bar, and I made you swing. Because now you're not hanging still. You can't just relax. You can't get into a position of comfortability. You have to now go from, you know, you're swinging. So your hand is ultimately mm-hmm. doing this the whole time. So you almost have to fix your hand into a cast position, and you don't move it, or else you're going to fall off.
Yeah, so little tip to everyone, don't wear your wedding ring while you're doing that. I almost lost my finger this morning doing that. But the hard bit about the grip, see, with every other exercise, you can see fields coming, you can feel it. So say you're doing a bench press and you can feel you're going to fail, you can feel that probably two or three pushes before it goes, so you can prep yourself for it. But I find with anything to do with my hands, it just goes. It's fine, I'm on the floor. So that's going to be the toughest. My hands are louping just now, actually.
Just from today's session.
Just from that, so I'm going to have to go and put them in ice.
Yeah, and just to touch on that, I don't think a lot of people understand that they can work their grip strength, and it doesn't have to just be with farmer's carry. I mean, we're doing our main emphasis for legs will be trap bar work. And the only reason why that would be is because then we can really focus on your getting heavy lifts and obviously holding that trap bar quite nicely and for a long period of time.
So what are we going to do to get up the rope? That's the other thing that I'm worried about.
Okay, so then
that's hands as well.
So that's also, but that, I would have to say, like jiu-jitsu, like if we're talking about the fight game, in order to get better at something, you have to actually do it. It's not something that you can try, copy in another exercise. So with the rope climb, we're going to put the rope out and start off in a seated position, keep your feet based, and all you're going to be doing is climbing up to a standing position. That's it. And then back down, control yourself back down, and then climb yourself back up. That's only going to be half your body weight because your feet are going to be in front of you. You're not relying on just the upper in terms of climbing all the way up to the top. But again, that's just going to be starting off at a very lower intensity and then work our way to try to get you to the top of the rope.
Top of the rope. So that's just I think I know the answer to most of these things is do it and gradually build up and keep doing it and repeating over time. So one of the, we do a regular fitness test in between it. So it's good to see that the fitness test is improving. It's improving quite a bit. So that's always good to see. Cause we're not focused on weight. We're not focused on these other, type
and of. Just so I know you said about these markers with the grip strength, but what's also not brilliant is the correlation between your VO2 max and longevity and your health. Yeah. And apparently they're now linked that to your extreme health benefits. If your VO2 max, that can basically determine how long you're going to live for.
So explain VO2 max.
VO2 max is basically the ability to get oxygen back in your blood cells as fast as possible. So if you're unfit, it's going to take longer to be able to basically get your heart rate down. That's what it'll do. The quicker the oxygen gets back into your system, the lower your heart rate goes at a faster rate. So when you go on a run, your watch should just ultimately determine. It'll obviously be plus minus what your watch is saying. So ideally going for a proper VO2 max testing where they put a mask on you, they do a full test, heart rate and all of that. But that's the gist of it, is your heart's ability to recover after strenuous exercise.
Yeah, and I didn't know wear an Apple Watch, same as most people. I didn't know the watch could do that. But interestingly, obviously, it's been recording all the time.
Yes.
So I can look back to even before we started training, I was classified as, it was below average. It puts into four different things on the Apple Watch. It's below average, average, above average, an athlete.
Okay, Garmin does something similar,
Or elite. So I was below average and I've not really been looking at
that
it.
That would actually be a good little thing to have a look at to see, because with your running, with the...
It's increased, you can see it. It's
100%.
It's went like a bit like a hockey stick.
Yeah, so it will go up.
So I'm now in average. And it's getting close to above average.
Yeah.
But the other elements where it shows you the fitter you get, the more you can push yourself. But during the last fitness test, I was determined to beat the ski up time to beat the roar time. By the time we came to the next exercise, which was burpees, I was blown out my arse and ended up going backwards.
Yeah, and then I also told you a higher number of what you did prior because I was wanting you to try and get higher than that.
And that
broke me. Think that backfired because you're like, I need to get to that amount.
So the thing I'm being very mindful of now is, see, during that fitness test, obviously you're wanting to improve, so you've got a reason to go all out for doing it. So I'm training with you 2 days a week, and we are specialised. You're focusing your time in areas where we need equipment, we need a gym set, and we need that. So there's a lot of strength work and kind of functional fitness in it. So the kind of cardio bits on me, because there's no point in you coming out for a run with me and shouting at me to go faster. So I think, in all honesty, that's on me to improve that, pushing your body to that uncomfortable place. Because what I found when I was doing those exercises, because I was fitter, I was able to go harder, but I took my heart rate way up to 200, which again is not necessarily a problem, but it's that, if you're not used to that feeling, it's not a nice feeling.
Yeah.
So one thing I'm going to be very mindful of now is, rather than just taking myself to that uncomfortable feeling during the fitness test, you almost need to be training in that when you come from the cardio piece.
Because if you do that in your training, then your ability for recovery, your VO2 max and all of that does then improve. Mm-hmm. And there is obviously time for just nice steady state runs and things like that. But in order to see where you can go, you have to then do that in training.
Because I'm tuned to make things easy in my life. It's as we all are. So the run I've been doing outside, it wasn't deliberate, well, probably psychologically, but it's got a nice big downhill bit.
Yeah.
Then it's got a nice big flat bit. Then there's a slight uphill at the end with that, but it's by no means the most challenging route I've picked out. So one thing I'm going to have to start doing, we spoke about this morning, there's a kind of trail run where you're up and down.
You and I both haven't done, obviously, Tough Mudder, but I've done one similar twice in South Africa, which was called the Warrior Race, which seems pretty much exactly the same. And their run setting was trail. So you would be going up and down embankments and things like that. So I don't know if Tough Mudder is going to be exactly the same, but to train...
You recover from that, don't you?
Yeah. Or else that's going to be an obstacle on its own. And you don't want the running to be the obstacle on the day. We want to achieve the obstacles on their own. And then the running almost just be what you know and what you're comfortable with.
And I've told, and I've got another a bit of motivation. I've told my family that I'm doing it, so they're all going to come and watch. And my wife is never happier than seeing someone, preferably me, falling off something and really badly hurting themselves. Yeah. She finds that hilarious. So I've got a real motivation not to humiliate myself in front of my kids and wife and have her point and laugh at me. So looking forward to it. There's a lot of work between now and then. And one of the interesting things about the challenge, we're now starting to see that how life gets in the way of what you're trying to do. We've both been very consistent. I don't think I've missed a session.
No.
And you've been very consistent with what we've been asking you to do, always hounding you for more ideas and more stuff. But you're off back to South Africa Wednesday, is it? So off there.
To South Africa.
Yeah, so you'll be lovely and brown by the time you get back. Then when you come back, I'm going on holiday. So we're not going to train together for probably 3 weeks.
3 weeks now, three weeks coming up.
So there's a lot that we are doing with you just now. So we were in recording a load of content, making sure that we've got enough so you can go and enjoy your holiday.
Yeah, content planner.
Yeah, so you can go and do it. You'll still be posting from the beautiful South Africa and making us all very jealous with the lovely weather, but that's a piece of effort. But the big thing for me, I've got 3 weeks now where the only accountability is myself.
Yeah, so we'll do check-ins, obviously. We're always going to be touching.
I can lie through my teeth.
I'm going to ask you to take videos of your sessions. But it's just accountability and making sure that we do the check-ins. If there's any questions, because we obviously see each other quite often. Mm-hmm. So if you have got any questions, I think we don't really notice when, you know, there's these questions being asked. But I think now in the next 3 weeks, you might be like, okay, I would have asked Jesse right then on the spot. So just that's the thing about all, this whole process.
Yeah.
Is message your a person that will help. Obviously, you message me, and then we can plan and then go forward with it.
Mm. But they, especially seeing the early mornings, a lot of the time, I know the only reason I got out of bed is because I know you're where they are waiting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and I would never stand you up. No, yeah, I mean, I would hate to do that to someone. So that gets you out of your bed and to do it. But when you're just going, right, I'm getting in my bed to go to the gym, that's a very different.
I do feel like these next 3 weeks is ultimately going to now be like the
make or break.
Yeah, uh-huh. Is really going to be, okay, are you in this or you're out?
Yeah, because so, you can do a lot of damage in 3 weeks.
Yep.
A hell of a lot of damage. It's so annoying. It takes months and months and months to build stamina up, and you can wreck it.
Yeah.
You can absolutely wreck it.
And obviously, I want to come back in 3 weeks and I see a completely different animal on the gym floor.
See something on the gym floor. So that's an interesting challenge. Again, that's all on me.
Yeah.
That's the big boy pants on. And you need to do it yourself. And I guess in the next update, we'll be talking about
how that went. Because that will pretty much be soon after we both... Because when you come back, which will actually then be a nice little accountability test, is your next 3 weeks, as soon as I come back, that same week we're going to be doing
a fitness test.
Fitness test and measurements and all of that again.
Yeah. Good.
There we go. So there's your...
Yeah. So being honest, over the next 3 weeks, the piece I need to really focus in on. One thing in the program I've never done, and you've always put it in, is the stretching piece.
Yes.
And I'm going to have to do that or I'm going to end up injured. I can feel it. The further I'm running, the faster, the heavier weights I'm lifting, the more fucking things you've got me swinging from, I'm going to hurt myself.
Yeah.
A man of a certain vintage needs to stretch.
Yeah.
So I need to start doing stretch. I need to double down my eating. And my eating's been okay, but it's starting to slip a little bit in terms of what I'm doing. So that's the confession time.
Yeah, first time I'm hearing about this, everybody.
It's by no means been bad, but the discipline of making sure you're hitting that 160 grams worth of protein every day, I'm kind of guessing at it, which is fine to a point, but then when days where you know you're not doing it, I'm just not guessing at that. So I really need to make sure I'm doing that protein. But and the last thing I know I need to do is really take that training to make myself uncomfortable when I'm on my own. So running up hills, and rather than taking the easy route back to the house, take the hard route and constantly do that. So it's a wee bit of self-reflection and honesty. I know that's
things. And that's why it's always good to have have that end goal, which is the tough matter. And I firmly believe in this, is having things lined up in your yearly calendar that require you to push out your comfort zone. If you don't have things lined up, you tend to get extremely complacent quickly.
Yeah.
So having things lined up, like now you've got this lined up, you're going to do it. I'm not saying you are going to have something else lined up after that, but it could create something you're like, you know what, that did help me reach my goals. It did help me reach the target. And let's look at what else there is to offer in there for the rest of the year and sign up to a new. A lot of my clients are currently doing that, and I can see how it's changing them.
Absolutely, it's made a big difference, because I know that I'm going to have to be able to swing from something.
Yeah.
It's not a maybe, should I, could I.
Yeah.
There's no point in me doing this event if I can't hold my body weight for a minute or 2 minutes at a time. So the goals mentally has made a massive difference.
Yeah.
Because... If you don't put in the work just now, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah, 100%.
And making a fool of yourself.
Yeah.
That brings us on nicely. So you and a number of your other clients did High Rocks in Glasgow.
Yes.
So how did, from you personally, first of all, how did you get on?
I loved it. It was I know we spoke like one of the first or first podcast we ever did. And obviously, I was wanting to take it extremely seriously. I was, really trying to double down. And again, injuries, certain things happen.
Because you had an injury going into this one, didn't you?
Yeah, uh-huh. My hip was just, every time I ran, it just seized up. My lower back was in pain. And I knew it was just my hip flexors tightening up from the copious amounts of training that I was doing. So I definitely went into it with a happier mindset of just let's have fun with it, engage with people that came to support me. And because sometimes when you're in the zone, you just don't really even bother around who's there. So I definitely did take in the moments of the actual high risk experience, which I loved. I mean,
you do the pro one, don't you?
I did the pro. This was my first pro one. So
was that your first pro one?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So what's the difference between pro and the
just
normal?
The weights. So the weights of, so the sled push, instead of it being 153, it was 200.
It's quite a jump.
Yeah. And then sled pull, instead of 100, was 150. Farmer's carry, instead of the 24 kg kettlebells in each hand, was 32. Lunge walks, instead of the 20 kg, it was the 30 kg. And then the war balls at the end, instead of a 6 kg medicine ball, it was the 9 kg medicine ball.
Right, okay. And what, are you going to do another one?
Oh, 100%, yeah. Yeah. Well, I haven't got one booked in yet, but I'm follow a Facebook group that people sell tickets. You just need to be careful of scammers. But
yeah, I guess that's one of the issues with HYROX now. It's that popular.
That tickets just go like that.
And people are, if you go to HYROX gym, you get the priority for it, don't you? Yep. And if you're an affiliate, you get
yes,
it.
Yes, so you get tickets first and
so
all
by the
that.
Time it's on general sale, you're
gone.
It's gone. Mm. It's gone. So the next, I guess the next big one is Birmingham, isn't it?
Yeah, and the UK, so Birmingham would be, so there's London, London Olympia, that's one's next. I think that's in May, if I'm not mistaken, but, and then Birmingham. Waiting for the Ireland, Dublin one to come out, because I want to obviously try then maybe get into that one.
When's that?
It should be October, November. They haven't come out with the tickets yet, but as soon as it is, I think that's the one that I'm going to try to jump on.
Yeah. I think I might give it a go the next time as well.
Yeah, well, I think I know you spoke about my other, obviously the four other clients that did HYROX now. I think all of them were, you know, first very, you know, uncertain if it's something that was for them. Doing it now, all of them have pretty much said, you know, they want to do more like that. They want to get more involved in certain things. So I think once you get that bug, it's go time. I think I'll have a bigger team for the next HYROX.
Yeah. I think in terms of, I think we need to give them a bit of a shout out. So Umar. Yeah. I don't really know many of your other clients. We kind of pass each other, but me and him started at the same time, so we've always been walking past each other in and out of sessions and doing that. So he was up when you were up in Anytime Fitness, so it's absolutely incredible where that guy's went, where he came from to what he's doing now. Even the mental
I've told him this before, if I have to meet the guy that I see walking through the gym door now in comparison to who I saw walk at Anytime Fitness, I wouldn't even recognize him. Not in terms of appearance, but just his energy, his vibrations that he brings out now when he walks into a place, the confidence, and it does for especially a male. Obviously I'm a male, I can talk more for males, but having that ability to have confidence in just your appearance and your abilities makes a huge difference when you walk into a room.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So he's done tremendously well. I'm sure the others have as well. I just don't know them as well.
So, yeah, I mean, if I look at Sean, when I did that 12-week challenge in, I think it was September or October.
So what was his starting point? What was Sean's starting point?
Sean was literally, I mean, I don't have all his stats on me at the moment.
But he wasn't like a highly fit person at that point. No,
if you, I mean, it is on my page. I mean, he came with little to nothing, and
sorry to drag you into this, Sean, but
I know it's everyone in the class is saying is shocked with how far Sean has come, and he's, I mean, so he did HYROX, which was something that he never thought that he would be able to do. And now he's doing the half marathon with us in Edinburgh. So,
and he's not a runner.
So now he's putting his mind to that. And that is, if you look at, and I'm so proud of what I've created, because again, I don't speak for everyone else, but for me, when I'm as a personal trainer, yeah, it's nice to train athletes and not to train these, because, you know, you can get some quality content from them. You can, you know, use that for your page and all of that. But when people come with little to nothing fitness and they got such a long way to go to achieve anything. And then this happens. And then I get four people that probably would have never, ever done a HowRocks event to go and smash it. That to me is the ultimate win for as a personal trainer. If you look at those four people that did the HowRocks, if you had to ask them a year ago, would they have done it? They probably wouldn't have done it just because it was never their thing or a possibility to them that they could achieve it. And they've done that now.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. So before we finish up on this update, I want you, obviously you've came from an MMA background. We talk about this a lot, but I've deliberately not asked you about it to get your views on it. So what did you think of the Francis Ngannou Joshua crossover? Because that went horribly wrong.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Like coming, I mean, a mixed martial artist will spend a quarter of the time working with boxing than what a boxer would. You can't tell me otherwise because it's mixed martial arts. There's other disciplines. There's only certain amounts of time throughout the day that you can work on a discipline. So these crossover fights, I think it's just, really it's just money.
The spectacles, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%. Uh-huh. Because, what will happen? What will happen? But, I mean, you should know what's going to happen. I don't think there's been a mixed martial artist. Obviously, Francis gave Tyson Fury a run for his money to some sense. And I firmly believe it's because Tyson Fury probably didn't even put time and effort into that training camp. And then you get someone that took it so seriously and Anthony Joshua, and look what happened. Absolutely folded Francis. And that's, I think people should stay in their disciplines. And if they haven't been doing it for an extremely long period of time, then just, you know, stay out of it. But again, it's money. They've got to that position where they can do these crossovers. If you have to ask me if I'll get folded and knocked out for 20 mil, I'd go to sleep quickly.
Yeah, no, I'd do that. if you want to hit me for that. So, but I think that's one of the issues potential with the UFC, because if I'm saying that in his career, Francis, just from the UFC, I know he'd have made more from sponsorship, etc. He'd made something like $3 or $4 million, which, don't get me wrong, is a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
But compared to what the top elite boxers get, it's a drop in the ocean. Then he gets for that boxing match, I think he got like $30 million.
Yeah.
So you can see why they do it.
No, for sure. I mean, there is money obviously in mixed martial arts, but you like, so if I have to look at, and I don't know if it's because I'm in the game of martial arts or that's my preference, but if you have to look at the size or the spectacle that UFC put on, I hardly saw the build up for Anthony and Francis. And then when I did, it wasn't actually high quality.
No, the undercard was rubbish.
Press conference. Uh-huh. If you look at a UFC fight card from the embedded series, from the YouTube embedded series, from the press conferences, from everything, the build-up, UFC spend so much money on ramping up their fighters. And yes, their fight purse is lower than that. But I mean, it gives them ability because there's so much advertising behind the fights in the UFC. They could 100% get their sponsorships up because they then showing so much of that sponsor on these embedded series, on the pre-fight press conferences. So there is ways. So if you're looking at just the fight purse, yes, it's a huge, huge knock. But you mustn't forget these guys are getting sponsored from massive companies.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're fight purse, but they're getting a full-on massive salary every month because of their sponsors. And I do believe UFC allow that, or not allow that, but have a big part to play in that because of how they advertise their fighters.
Yeah. What did you think of, was it $299? Wasn't it UFC's $299?
If there's anyone that I think can do a crossover, it's Sean O'Malley. I do.
Very slack, isn't he?
I think his ability to find range and his movements are. And if you then take out kicks and everything else. And he can, I think he can hone in on just the boxing.
Just the boxing piece. Superb. Well, I'll see you in 3 weeks' time, I guess, isn't
it?
So
this will be the last time you're going to have withdrawals from not seeing me.
Oh, no, I'll survive. I will survive. Enjoy South Africa.
Yeah, I will do.
Go and get nice and tanned. I think you're underestimating what the Scottish climate has done to your skin, so you're going to end up burnt to a crisp. Yeah. We'll have taken...
The first video I take is me looking like a lobster.
A lobster. you've not seen the sun really for 3 years, so keep that in mind. So I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks, Danny.
Cheers.